friends. It is Saturday. It is November 18th, 2017. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the cold Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org. Please also visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and WoolliesBlog.blogspot.com and ScreeningSandyHook.net. During the program, questions or comments to... email to comment at spingola.mail. We're just bringing that in our guest today. Anyway, comment at spingola.email. If you send your questions to my regular email, I'm not going to see them. So if you want to have them answered online, please send them to comment at spingola.com. And I invite you to visit the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. You may view our guest lineup at spingola.com. In addition to the links for each guest, I also have other interesting links relative to the guest and his or her subject. We will take calls in the third hour at 800-313-9443. In 2011, doctors wrote 4.02 billion prescriptions for drugs just in America. That's an average of roughly 13 prescriptions for each man, woman, and child. Today, our guest, and hopefully she can address that issue and many of the other issues that we have. My guest today is Dr. Nancy T. Banks. She is the author of AIDS, Opium, Diamonds, and Empire, The Deadly Virus of International Greed. Her most recent book is The Slow Death of the AIDS/Cancer Paradigm and the Apocrypha of the Eukaryotic Cell. Her website is nancybanksmd.com. Dr. Banks is a graduate of the Harvard Medical School. She practiced general obstetrics and gynecological oncology for 25 years, during which time she was also the director of outpatient gynecology at the North General Hospital in Harlem, New York, and served as an attending physician at North General Nyack Hospital in Nyack, New York, the Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center, and the Mount Sinai Hospital and Medical Center. During her years of practice, a procession of drug representatives approached her daily in her office and at medical conferences. She became aware of how the pharmaceutical industry controls the practice of allopathic medicine and how that industry targets women and children. Dr. Banks, welcome to the program.
Hello, Diana. Thank you for having me back. It's lovely to talk to you again.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the program. There are so many things going on. And a couple weeks ago, I picked up your first book. And this morning, I spent all morning going over the timeline. I'm a big proponent of timelines. And you have this wonderful timeline in the beginning of your book. And timelines are very informative. They give you times when things happen and the correlation of what is happening to other things that are happening. And it's just, I don't remember saying that the first time that I read that book. But anyway, the way that drugs were introduced in various countries is so amazing, and people don't even think about it. And in the first 25 pages of that book, you give exactly how they were introduced, and it's so subtle. Oh my gosh, when you look at it, it just seems like everything is about drugs and the government taking over our lives and lobotomizing us with drugs and making us dependent on allopathic medicine. And we're the sickest nation in the world.
Well, it's not just the government. It's a combination of private industry that actually is that controls the government. And it's part of what we call the deep state or the shadow government. But before I talk about that, I just want to mention that the book has been translated into French, and it will be available for sale in February of next year in France and Belgium. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Especially in France. That is, yeah. Oh, yes, because yeah. They have kind of a closed society there, from what you've said and from what other people have said. So that is very exciting. Very exciting.
But to your point, I think that sometimes we forget the lessons of history and how we got to come to have allopathic medicine as the primary type of medicine that we practice, to the point that most people in this country have no idea that there are many ways of practicing medicine, and allopathy is only one. But, we can take it back to the father of John D. Rockefeller, who was quite a scoundrel. He was not a scoundrel, actually, that's putting it kindly. He was an out-and-out criminal. He was a horse thief. He was a rapist. He was a thief. And he was on the run from the law. They lived in New York, upstate New York, and they ended up in Ohio as a result of his criminal activity. And just as they got to Ohio, the first oil wells were discovered in Pennsylvania, and which was right over the border. And what he did is that he bottled this raw petroleum, and he sold it to the farmers as a cure for cancer. And when they found out that it was actually killing more people than it was helping, they added a vitamin, and then he said it was to help your liver, and they continued to sell it, so much so that it was one of the first drugs when Rockefeller, his son, began to get into the patent medicine business. That was one of the first. They continued to sell that drug, and they even had a senator who had a radio program, and he used his radio program as a way of hawking that poison to the general public. And so that's how the allopathic system got started. It got started through the Rockefellers, who were criminal business people. And he is much like the Microsoft guy today, the Bill Gates. You know, Bill Gates is to the computer system as it was Rockefeller was to the oil and pharmaceutical industry. So as Rockefeller got extraordinarily rich from his oil ventures, he began to venture out into other areas. And he and Carnegie, who was also one of the titans at that time, got together, and they had foundations. They put their money in foundations, and foundations are a way of having tax-free money that you still control, so that you can make the society go in the direction that you want with this money, and you can do it under the guise of philanthropy. But at any rate, they did a study, and they determined that the best way for them to be able to sell their products and their ideas was to promote what we call allopathic medicine. And allopathic medicine is the kind of money, a medicine that primarily uses pharmaceutical drugs. They use surgery, and they use chemotherapy and surgery. So that is particularly all. And what they did is they went around the country, and they only supported those universities and those professors who would go along with what they wanted. And they began to call any other kind of medicine quackery, no matter how successful it was. And so gradually over the course of the 20th century, most of the other modalities of medicine were weakened. And so we still have schools of homeopathy and naturopathy and osteopathy and chiropractic, but they're not as powerful as the allopathic system.
Wow. Excuse me. Wow. That is amazing how they just incrementally took over. And one must question how other things got started. But this seems to have grown to the point that they have taken over the government. The pharmaceutical industry probably has more people representing them to our Congress people than any other industry. And if you look at the money that that Congress people take from Big Pharma on both sides, Democrats, Republicans, doesn't make any difference. It is absolutely amazing. And they're not paying just to be charming. They're paying for a service. They're paying to get something.
It's a powerful lobby, but the lobbyists worked very hard to be able to actually be able to put as much money into politics as they could. And the problem is that the American voting population has been pretty passive over the last few decades. You know, one of the things that that Ronald Reagan did when he first came in, he fired the airline the guys who were in the towers.
Right.
And that was the beginning. Yeah, that was the beginning of breaking up the union. So one of the things that the 1% has never wanted is a strong middle class or a strong working class that could confront them on issues that were important to their class considerations. And so they've made everybody in the United States thinks that their class considerations are the same as the 1%. And so many people are hostile to unions or the idea of unions, and so they don't even talk about them anymore. But as a result of doing that, they were able to consolidate power, and that's what they've done. I've seen it over the last 30 to 40 years. Power has been consolidated as they've neutralized the voice of the American people. They've been able to consolidate power into fewer and fewer hands. And so that's basically what has been planned, and they've been very successful. And one of the ways that they've helped to be able to do that is through the pharmaceutical industry, because so many people in the United States are on psychotropic drugs. The children are on drugs if they're too active, and the adults are on opioids, or they're on some kind of tranquilizer. And so the Americans are readily, they're so easy to take a drug. If they go to the doctor and they have a complaint, they almost always walk out of the doctor's office with a prescription. And that's the way medicine is practiced today.
Sure. The other thing that happened under Reagan is that the ownership of the media shrunk immensely. He got rid of a lot of he allowed for the consolidation of the media. And the United States and New Zealand are the only two countries in the world that allow drug companies, pharmaceutical companies, to advertise their wares on television.
Yeah, that became much of a bigger issue under Bill Clinton. I think Bill Clinton was the one who kind of. I'm having a feedback.
Oh, are you? Okay, we'll try and have the producer work on that during the break.
Okay.
Are you hearing an echo?
Yeah, it's sort of almost like somebody is scratching something. It sounds very strange.
Oh, okay. We'll have the producer address that.
Okay.
So that'll be in 4 minutes. We go to a break in about 4 minutes, so he can work on that.
Yeah, and then the other thing I think we should talk about is the ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court ruling called Citizens United. Because Citizens United really allowed, it was a Supreme Court ruling that basically allowed interest groups to donate almost unlimited funds to politicians. And because of that, you know, we've seen, especially with the last few elections, we've seen how unstable our electoral process has become.
As to our other things, absolutely.
Well, because of these economic issues and because of these financial issues, we're coming to, I believe, a crisis point. We can't continue to go on this way. But as I said, it began at the first part of the 20th century, and it's coming to a head in this first part of the 21st century. But as you have alluded, even though the American people are spending a lot of money on drugs, and they are spending more on health care than any other country on the planet, and yet they have some of the sickest people. And so clearly there are problems. We're not getting our money's worth, and we're not asking the right questions. They keep trying to tinkle around the system and change the insurance, how we pay for insurance, and all of that sort of thing. But as I said, I wrote a manifesto for a new healthcare model. It's a much deeper issue, and there are many more things that we need to think about. And one of them, the most important thing, I think, is what we've been talking about, is that the allopathic model has become a monopoly. And anytime you have a monopoly, you have the corruption of too much power in too few hands. And that's what we have in the pharmaceutical industry today.
Absolutely. And I would also like to talk about the Affordable Care Act and how the public was really, really deceived into embracing that as something that would be very beneficial for them, when in fact it is not. They suppose that somehow they are going to be able to have greater access to health care. That's not the case.
The public wasn't deceived. The public wasn't deceived. The public wants to be deceived. Americans, there is no Santa Claus. It's time to grow up. When the government says we're here to help you, you have to read the fine print. And the problem is people don't want to read the fine print. When I went to a meeting because that was another plan that came out of Harvard, the Harvard School of Public Health. And I went to a meeting of the Harvard Club in Washington when they were writing it, and they had the people from the School of Public Health and the congressional aides who were writing the bill. And I could tell by the way they were talking that it was another boondoggle, because they were saying the same thing that they said about that plan that they had said 15 years earlier, that was all written up in the Washington Post and the New York Times about the HMOs, how HMOs were going to streamline the care, improve the quality, decrease the cost, blah, 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 blah. The same old thing. It's like weapons of mass destruction. It's always the same old thing. They always tell you the goodies. And they don't have any compunction about lying to the American people anymore. They can just basically tell you what you want to hear. And people hear what they want to hear. And nobody wants to read the fine print. So when you raise issues like... And it was impossible to talk to people, because I tried to talk to people at the time. I tried to say, this is not going to be a good bill. It's going to increase your costs tremendously. And it's not going to give you the quality of care.
All righty. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Hopefully without the scratchy sound. Be right back.
Okay.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Back, this is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Nancy T. Banks, and she is the author of AIDS, Opium, Diamonds, and Empire, The Deadly Virus of International Greed. It's a wonderful book. It's available at Amazon and in paperback. Her most recent book is The Slow Death of the AIDS / Cancer Paradigm and the Apocrypha of the Eukaryotic Cell. Her website is nancybanksmd.com. Alrighty, we were talking about how people just have too much trust, they're too naive, and they just allow this without asking any questions, and they don't take responsibility for their own health care, which is a shame. They don't take the responsibility to make lifestyle changes that would be beneficial.
Well, it's the unfortunate thing is that there's a lot of, you know, when people are telling you things that are incorrect, one of the things that they do is they tell you half-truths, and then they sow confusion. And I understand that. I know that many people are confused about, you know, they hear from the CDC or the FDA or the doctors on televisions, Nancy Snyderman says when about the flu shots, get your damn vaccines. So she's supposed to be someone who is an expert. And so you have these people who set themselves up as, quote, experts, and they're telling you one thing. And then you have a whole group of people at the grassroots level trying to tell people something else. But, you know, Deanna, people love authority. And they, if they hear something from an authority figure, they have a tendency to believe it rather than to trust in their own ability to sort through the morass of information that's coming at them. The other problem in the United States, and I believe the United States is the only country that allows this, it allows pharmaceutical drugs to advertise on television, and that's so sows the seeds of a lot of confusion also. So I will grant that people are confused, but I also grant that one of the things that we have an opportunity to have at this point, of course, is the internet. And so the mainstream media has tried to categorize the internet and the alternative media as fake news, when in fact the mainstream media for the most part is fake news. And how do you give fake news? You can give fake news, you can tell out and out lies, which is they sometimes do, but the way they basically don't tell the truth to the American people is that they just don't tell them all the information that they need to make an informed choice or an informed decision about almost any topic. So they just don't give you the information. For example, the information that people, you know, they've been trying to confuse the idea about vaccines and whether vaccines are toxic or not. And that's been a confusion for the last 30 years, and especially over the last 10 years as the number of children with autism has skyrocketed. They're trying to cover their tracks, even though their own research shows that these drugs are toxic. And even the package inserts state that the drugs have side effects which equate to autism, and yet they continue to deny it in the public sphere. And so most people listen to the public sphere until they have a catastrophe, a child who was developing perfectly normally, who all of a sudden becomes regressive in their behavior, then they begin to pay attention. And I don't know how you're going to change that behavior. But so at this point, I think that, yes, the government and the pharmaceutical industry, they do what they're supposed to do. But I think at this point, we have to be a little more sophisticated, a little more savvy, and a little more hardcore in terms of challenging everything that they say.
Indeed, and of course I agree with that. But there is so much evidence. But people, as you say, they are very, very brainwashed because they do believe and trust in authority figures. And it is just mind-boggling to me that they don't look at the facts. They would rather go along with the key opinion leaders, and it's just very sad.
But the problem is that the problem is also the so-called professionals who should know better do the same thing. For example, the doctors who do have the skills to read the original material and to read the package inserts don't. And so they basically tell their patients what they have been taught in medical school by the pharmaceutical industry,
right,
which is incorrect information.
Right. All righty. We do have a 3-minute break. We will be right back, and we'll pick this up on the other side about medical schools.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party property, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Nancy T. Banks. She is the author of AIDS, Opium, Diamonds, and Empire, The Deadly Virus of International Greed. And that's the book we're kind of concentrating on today. Her most recent book is The Slow Death of the AIDS/Cancer Paradigm and the Apocrypha of the Eukaryotic Cell.
Yeah, eukaryotic. Those are the kinds of cells we have in our body. Yes. Yeah, eukaryotic. Yeah, those are the cells that we have. And there are two kinds of cells, cells that have nuclei and cells that don't have nuclei. And that's the nuclei is where your DNA is, many bacteria don't have. And the nuclei is simply your DNA is surrounded by a membrane. It's separated from the rest of the cell. And so those are more advanced cells. They came later. The first cells did not have nuclei, and so our cells are a more recent version, and they developed as a result not of changes in the DNA, but in changes of energy. And so one of the things that I've tried to refocus biology away from is DNA, because DNA, it's like of a central processing unit. It can do nothing without energy. And so if in order for us to understand life, how life developed, life processes, and disease processes, we have to step back from the morass of the DNA and look at the energetic nature of the cell. And that's one of the offshoots of the allopathic system. They are focusing strongly on DNA when they know perfectly well that you're not going to solve any of the medical problems that we have today with DNA, because most of our problems are not genetic problems. Very few medical conditions, probably less than 5% of medical conditions, are primary genetic problems. Almost all of them are environmental problems, or they call them epigenetic. That is, the environment sends in bad information or toxins or electromagnetic energy, and it changes the nature of the energetic state of the cell, and the cell begins to fall apart. And so the DNA gives signals which are incorrect. So one of the things that I began looking at in the first book, and I didn't look at it as deeply as I did in the second book, AIDS, Opium, Diamonds, and Empire, I wanted to know what, in fact, were the underlying causes of what they were calling AIDS, because I think most people think, you know, again, this is a lack of knowledge. Most people, when they talk about AIDS, they try to discuss AIDS as if it's one disease. It's not. It's 29 old diseases, which they lumped under an umbrella because they wanted to create an idea, which was a false idea. And they wanted to create that idea for several reasons, which I'll come to. But so the whole idea of AIDS was that it was a virus that attacked the immune system, and therefore, as a result of this attack on the immune system, you could develop one of these many diseases. Well, first of all, on the face of it, that's an idiotic notion, because viruses, if they exist at all, have very little genetic information, and they certainly don't have enough genetic information to cause 29 different diseases. And secondly, if any of the doctors who were involved in this would bother to read the original papers from Gallo in the United States and Luc Montagnier in France, they would see that neither of those papers did the doctors actually isolate a unique entity. They had secondary characteristics which they claimed were indicative of finding a virus, but they never found a virus. But they found particles that they claimed were the virus, and then they began to do what they called genetic studies on them, cloning, and then they said that this cloning was evidence that this virus was causing the disease. But as I began to look at it, I noticed that there were deficiencies. There were nutritional deficiencies in all of these patients. They've known it for over 30 years, and yet they refuse to give the patients the nutritional deficiencies which they're missing, and they continue to treat them with toxic drugs, which actually, at the beginning, the drugs were so toxic, it was killing most of the people who were coming to the hospital. And so that gave the impression that all of these people were dying of AIDS when most of them were dying of a drug called AZT.
Yes.
And so, because the AZT, if people remember the movie Philadelphia with Tom Hanks, and he was losing weight and he was losing his hair, that wasn't the disease. That was the drug AZT. That's what AZT was doing to people. It was killing people. Because AZT was actually a toxic cancer drug which had been shelved because it was too toxic to give to cancer patients. They dusted it off and started giving it to AIDS patients, and they knew that they were killing people, but believe me, it was done intentionally. They knew exactly what they were doing, but there was a bigger agenda with this, and part of the agenda was international politics, and part of the agenda was also the promotion of the LGBTQ agenda onto the American people. So it had multiple.
Oh, really?
Yes, because before the AIDS crisis, you remember, there used to be a controversy in the schools because they wanted to start doing sex education in the schools.
Right.
And the parents. The parents, there was a hue and cry because the parents did not want this. And then the next thing you know, there was an AIDS crisis. So they said, we have to start talking to the young people. And so now they started talking to kids in elementary school. They started talking to Girl Scout groups. So now they could start bringing sex education to children. Because if you read the 1972 Gay Rights Manifesto, the end result of the Gay Rights Manifesto was the promotion of pedophilia.
Oh my gosh.
Most people don't know that, but you have to. That you can read it. It's online. It's the 1972 Great Gay Rights Platform, and so what they have been slowly pushing with the gay rights movement is the acceptance of pedophilia.
Oh my goodness! Oh, that. That connection just answers a lot of questions for people, I think. Oh. And yeah. Now they teach this into grade schools, to children who
have primary schools now. They have transvestites going into libraries reading to preschool kids.
Oh my gosh.
And so they're really pushing this agenda on to children. And now they have this thing where the children are actually being gender confused, where they, you know, kids are coming home crying. Are they going to turn into a girl? Or are they going to turn into a boy? Because they're bringing these things into children who are still impressionable and have no way of processing this kind of information.
And of course, they're getting this information from authority figures, and so some children will take it in and take it seriously, and it will provide them an avenue of exploration and confusion. Oh my goodness! I never connected these two things. Never.
And that's part of the whole. A lot of people see. We see that things are breaking down around us, but we're not quite sure how they're breaking down. But these agendas. You know, as I said, this is the Gay Rights Platform, which was written and produced in 1972. Anybody can go on the internet and look it up and see exactly what it was, what their platform was and what they wanted to do. And so that was 1972, and this is 72, 82, 92, you know, so 30, 40 years ago. And so what they proposed 40 years ago is coming to fruition, but there are multiple ways in which you can bring your agenda into fruition. And if you want to weaken the family ties, if you want to weaken what the concept of a marriage is, if you want to weaken people, men being responsible for their families, and you want to weaken that whole idea of family and family, male, mother, father, child, family unit, then this is one of the ways that you can do it. And so the last piece of the puzzle has been the pedophilia, and they are bringing that in slowly also, because what we're seeing is people are lowering the age of consent for sex, both in Europe and the United States.
Oh, goodness. And then after 1972 and 73, you had the Roe v. Wade, which also is detrimental to the family. And if you destroy the primary unit of society, you will destroy society and the culture.
Yeah, and that's basically that. You know, there's been a cultural war being waged against the people of the planet. This is part of the so-called New World Order, you know, this breakdown of loyalty to the family unit.
Right.
Or even a concept of the family unit. So that's, in other words, that is one of the political ways in which the AIDS crisis was, especially here in the West. In Africa, the AIDS crisis was used because the Western countries, as usual, have been in Africa taking their resources. They want the Africa is one of the richest continents. It is the richest continent. The people are the poorest, but it's the richest in terms of its resources. And the resources are basically being stolen. And one of the ways that you could do that is that you continue to show that the people are just not capable of doing anything. They're having this unprotected sex, and they're just not capable of managing their own affairs. But of course, AIDS is not a sexually transmitted disease. And the studies in the United States, it showed that it cannot be transmitted sexually. It was never a sexually transmitted disease. But again, you can make it look like it's a sexually transmitted disease. And the only act, sexual act, that AIDS is associated with is the homosexual rectal sex, and that's because of the trauma and the bacteria that enter the bloodstream as the result of that kind of sexual activity, and that in fact will produce a problem, a challenge to the immune system. Right. So that's the only sex, and they know that. They've known that from the very beginning. They know that the vaginal sex, that women do not transmit this disease, but and basically the disease is not transmitted. And the other way they made it look like it was a sexually transmitted disease, because initially in the United States it showed up among a subsection of the gay population. Not every gay person, man, turned up with this, but there was back in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, there was what they call the fast track gay people, and they were having lots of unprotected sex, they were doing lots of drugs, you know, they were going to filthy bathhouses, and they were taking oodles and oodles of immunosuppressive drugs, including antibiotics, which are immunosuppressive if you take them on a regular basis. So they were doing things to suppress their immune systems over a period of time. And they were also taking this drug that was originally made to help people who had angina, cardiac pain, based on anoxia of the cardiac muscle, a drug which was nitric oxide, which they called poppers. And that drug is very toxic, and was also very immune suppressing. And as a result of these habitual environmental problems, people begin to show up sick. I mean, you can only abuse your body so much for so long before it's going to wear down. And that's what was happening. And so instead of saying, you know, these people are abusing their bodies, they need to be detoxified, they need to have nutritional help, and they need to be treated for the infections, because they did have some infections. They need to be treated for the infections, and they could get well. And the same thing for Africa. Many of the people who had diseases which are endemic to certain parts of Africa, tuberculosis or malaria, would test positive. The test would be positive for these diseases. It had nothing to do with AIDS.
Right.
They had to do with other infectious diseases, because the test is nonspecific, and it every test is that they give you is actually a false positive.
Right, so, you have this list of everything, all of the symptoms or all of the conditions that would show a positive on an AIDS test. I was amazed at the length of that list. It's 2 pages.
Right. And so, and the other thing is if, for example, there are racial differences to stress and racially, genetically programmed differences. For example, people of African origin make more antibodies to a particular stimulus. The HIV test is an antibody test. It's a nonspecific test. So if you're a person of African origin, or a person in Africa, your antibody test is likely to be more positive, not because you have an infection, but simply because you respond to any kind of stimuli by making more antibodies than, say, Caucasians or Orientals. And so then they had this thing that, you know, Black people were And this was how you figure out that they're not telling the truth, because AIDS was primarily a disease of young, middle class, white males, and then all of a sudden, and of course there were Black males who were gay, who were participating in this lifestyle, and so there were some gays, and there were some bisexuals as well. So so because the majority of the original people were white middle-class males, you and if it really were sexually transmitted, you would say, okay, the next cohort who would be the closest to that white middle-class gay or bisexual would be white middle-class women. But white middle-class women were never part of this problem.
Wow. All righty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dr. Nancy T. Banks. She is the author of AIDS, Opium, Diamonds, and Empire, The Deadly Virus of International Greed. Her most recent book is The Slow Death of the AIDS/Cancer Paradigm and the Apocrypha of the Eukaryotic Cell. Her website is nancybanksmd.com. Now, earlier, you mentioned DNA, and there are a lot of companies, well, maybe just two or three companies that are running a lot of advertisements on television encouraging people to send in for their, whether it's, I guess they put a little spit on a Q-tip or something, and then they can find out where they came from. And I am very suspicious about this kind of activity. I don't.
I love the way they do things because it's very clever. They always, you know, when you want to do something that's really evil, you have to couch it in a gift wrapped. Like, this is sure. a gift for you. We can tell you about your family. But what they're trying to do is develop a database of everybody on the planet. And the Western countries are doing that most rapidly. And so what they want to do is they say, okay, well, you can find out your ancestry, ancestry.com, and you can find out if you think you're Polish, but your family was really from Ireland or whatever. And it sounds really good. And for some people, it may be interesting, but what they're doing is, and remember, once they have that DNA, it belongs to them. It no longer belongs to you. They can do whatever they want with that DNA. And the other thing they've been doing since George Bush Jr. was president, they've been every baby that's being born in the United States, they've been collecting DNA since the early 21st century. And so they remember, these are the same people who are running the country, the same people who are running the Nazis. If anybody wants to read about how IBM collated people, and so they had census data on everybody, so they knew exactly where to go to pick up who they wanted to pick up, because the IBM was keeping data. I mean, these people love to keep data. They love to keep databases. And so what they've been doing, especially it's gotten out of control since 2001, they've been collecting data on every American citizen. And part of that is to have a DNA database on everybody. So, and part of that is to know who you are and where you are at all times. But also, people have to realize that if for some reason you're a person of interest that they want to characterize in a negative way, now they have your conversations, they have your Facebook, they have your tweets, they have your DNA, they have your emails, they have all this information on you. And we all know that you can take information and make anybody look like a criminal based on the information that they've collected.
Oh my goodness. Alrighty, we're at the top of the hour. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
Folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefits. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.